Welcome to It Just Means Less, where we talk all things SEC sports. Here are your hosts, Wells Perigin and Jacob Holman.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the It Just Means Less podcast. I'm your host, Wells Perigin, here, as always, with my co-host, Jacob Holman. How are you, Jacob?
Man, I'm good. How are you?
I can't even begin to tell you how good I am. We got two main reasons. Well, maybe three and two combined. First off, previous Saturday, the Auburn Tigers won an SEC game against a ranked team. I mean, I'm giving them a round of applause right here on a recording right now because that hasn't happened since we started recording. And on top of that, the Alabama Crimson Tide lost. That has not happened on the same day that me and you have been recording. And I guess we're probably on episode, let's see. This is week 14.
It's episode 16 of this season. So,
and we did like 16 football games last year too, or no, it was more than that if you count bowl games and all that kind of stuff. So there's a first time for everything in this podcast, and I love that. Secondly would be the Auburn Tigers have just won the Maui Invitational in basketball. So I'm on cloud nine right now, man. I don't know if it can get any better.
Yeah, I mean, I think all that'd make it better would be a win Saturday, right?
You know, I'm a realist. I'm a realistic person. So yes, it would make it better, but I'm not ready to call that yet.
Yeah, no, I understand. I mean, football. I mean, I watched through the end of regulation. I didn't watch overtime at all. I just was just like, I didn't really care, to be honest. And so, I saw the replay and I saw the receiver from A&M. He just dropped the ball.
Well, it was their running back. It was their starting running back.
And he was butt naked open. And he just dropped it. So, I mean, tough luck. But, I mean, good luck for Auburn, right?
Haunted house.
Haunted. So, like you know, going to basketball, like you said, Auburn looks, you know, pretty legit right now in hoops. But this isn't about hoops yet. That will come in a couple of weeks. But, I think talking about Bama, man, is just not good.
I saw, and I don't know how I don't have the year right. It's the first time Alabama had not scored a touchdown since like 2011.
Yeah, I can't remember.
It might have been longer than that, but I think I saw 2011 somewhere. Yeah. And I'm trying to think who it had been. I bet you what game it was. It was Alabama LSU and Bryant Denny that year when it was like 9-6. Is that what it ended up being? Yeah. That was the last time Alabama has not scored an offense. Yeah, an offensive touchdown. I guess any touchdown in general, but specifically an offensive touchdown in a football game. So 13 years.
Yeah, man, that's insane. You know, I feel like what kind of was just like kind of a tell-all about that game was, I don't know if it was a third down play or what down it was, but when Ryan Williams just drops the ball, goes right through his hands, you know, just tough luck. You know, you can just tell that's kind of how it's going to go. And then, you know, I told you earlier in the week that I had something I was going to say that was going to probably shock you a little bit. But I don't know if Milroe is the best quarterback. Like, the thing is, I don't really want to see him at quarterback. I think if he were to make it to the NFL, I just don't know if he would last at quarterback. He's a great athlete. Don't get me wrong. Phenomenal athlete. You get him in space, he can do whatever. You know, Alabama's offense doesn't really work well unless you can get him in the run game. Because, I mean, that pretty much showed Saturday night that if he's not running well, Alabama's not going to play well. I think he's a great running back or receiver that just can throw it. He's a great athlete. You put him in space, and I think he's one of the best athletes in college football, if not the best. But I just don't know how great of a quarterback he is because quarterbacks are more than just athletes. They have to know where they're throwing it to, what reads they have to make, you know, just. And I think it showed that he had double, if not more than double carries than the running backs did. So like, and I get that he's your star guy and you want to make it go through him, but I just don't know if he's the greatest option at quarterback.
Yeah, I would agree with you that he's not the greatest option, but I would also say that there is, 134 FBS teams. There is at least 75 that would sign up right now to have the guy playing quarterback. Now, is he a playoff quarterback without a good supporting cast around him? Probably. That's fine. I think he's a guy that if you have the pieces around him is high ceiling guy. Maybe, but maybe his floor is a little lower than the average guy. if that makes sense. He's really rangy, whereas like trying to give an example, I don't want to say Garrett Nussmeier because he's been turnover prone, but like he's you basically know what Gus is going to get you.
Yeah,
kind of thing.
That's, but you know, if you go and look at stats wise, you know, I was seeing it on Twitter today. I mean, technically, has Peyton Thorne not technically been a better quarterback?
I mean, Peyton Thorne has less interceptions, more touchdowns, and Peyton Thorne's played one less game.
Right.
A game and a half.
Really. Yeah. So, you know, and I'm looking at ESPN's stats right now. Alabama's leading rusher is Milrow with 135 carries on the season. And that's compared to, let's see, what is that compared to? That is compared to Jam Miller at the next one with 28 less carries than that. So, I understand that, you know, he's so electric and so good with his legs. I just feel like if you, you know, do you think about giving somebody else a shot, like if he was struggling?
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, do you think why has that not happened already? If there's somebody truly better than Milrow, I mean, is it just being stubborn, or is it finally taken to the point to get right now?
I think some of it may be fear. I mean, if you're DeBoer, how do you justify going away from the face of your program in your first year here? Like, how do you bench the guy that's, you know, that everybody sees as the face of your program? You know, I don't know if he would really be able to do that. Now, I just, you know, I think if you had, you know, if he wasn't as big of the guy, I think you could maybe make a case for it. It's like, you know, kind of like when Auburn benched Peyton Thorne against Arkansas, right? And what's his name? Hank Brown. Hank Brown. You know, he comes in and starts a game. Peyton Thorne's not really necessarily the face of your program. So it'd be kind of a similar thing. Like, you know, would you bench Jarquez? Type of deal. He wasn't stepping up. So, like, it's hard. I think it, especially as a first-year head coach, I think it's hard to come in and try to, you know, do that, because I think you would probably lose the locker room.
That's fair. Now, the locker room aspect, though, and this is something that was a lot being talked about this year with Auburn, is like, all right, you can't worry about losing the locker room because you bench your quarterback if you're benching other players around your quarterback for – messing up at the same time. Does that make sense? What I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like you can't say, all right, we're gonna leave your quarterback in because I don't want to lose the locker room. But at the same time, example, not for real, you bench Ryan Williams for dropping a pass or something like that. And then he's sitting there like, well, wait a minute, quarterback just threw an interception. I dropped a pass. Why is I'm coming out and the guy's not?
Right.
Kind of thing. So you got to balance it on how you're doing that.
Right. Yeah. And I think that would be, you know, I think it's a tough decision. Like, it'd be a tough decision regardless. And I'm not necessarily saying that he should. And I'm not necessarily saying that I would do that if I was DeBoer. It just seems like there's so much. Like, you know, at what point are you going to just let him try to do everything? Because if he's not doing everything, then, you know, you're not necessarily successful.
Here's another statement. And would you say right now, I mean, Bama's got a shot, but right now, what would you say the Bama's playoff odds are?
I'd probably say 30%.
Is that enough that you're still fighting on to just, why don't you not just go ahead and throw your next guy in there and prepare and get Simpson the reps to see if he is the guy for next year? Because if he's not, then you need to go to the portal. Because, what I mean, really, what else are you playing for if it's not the playoff?
Right. You know, the only tough part is, like, at this point, all Alabama had to do was win two games. And I know that's a lot easier said than done, right? You know, that's a lot easier said than done. Any SEC team, I think you can tell by what Alabama has done this year, any SEC team can win on a given weekend. And it's a thing where, you know, you got to have a lot to happen. And now you controlled your destiny. Now you don't. You've got to rely on some teams to lose. Like, I mean, you need Vandy to win. You need, you know, it'd be beautiful if USC beat Notre Dame. Don't know if that's going to happen. I mean, it's possible at USC, you know, you never know. And then you never know if it's a Miami team, you know, do they take their foot off the gas a little bit this week at Syracuse? You know, they've got to win to make it to the ACC championship game. So, you know, it's one of those things where you have to have, you know, you got to have a list of things to happen. And, you know, do they happen? Do they all happen? The odds of that are probably pretty lower.
Well, I mean, We need to start getting moving to talk about some other games. But I mean, you can thank Auburn last week, really, because I mean, Auburn beat Texas A&M, Florida, which I'm sure we'll talk about in a second, beating Ole Miss. I mean, that kept the door open. If either of them two teams or both of them teams would have won, I think that would have slammed the door. But it just happened that the two teams that you were, or two of the teams you were going against, slipped up too.
Yeah.
So all of them were on the road, which I guess that speaks to atmosphere.
Right.
All right. Let's go ahead. I mean, we'll mention a little bit Florida. Upsetting Ole Miss last week, and then I think we were texting back and forth. That Ole Miss final 2 minutes for Jackson Dart was absolutely atrocious.
Right, dude. That was just, you know, and I just thought it was funny that he, I mean, you know, he throws an interception, they get a stop. He gets the ball back. You're like, all right, maybe this is it. Then he throws another one. It's just like, man, it just seems like it could go his way. And
well, you know, he throws another one. Overturned, the next play comes out there and throws another one. So technically, I mean, he three passes in the last two drives ended up in Florida's hands, and then one of them just happened to get overturned, but luckily on being out of bounds. It was out of bounds. Let's see, around the Georgia struggled a little bit last week. I mean, not enough to really like, oh my god, they were on upset alert, but UMass gave them a little run for their money. Tennessee dominated. Kentucky made Texas slip up. I mean, they didn't make them slip up, but they made them sweat it out a little bit.
Yeah, I think this weekend might be a tough one for Texas.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I guess it's definitely the game of the week, right?
Yeah. I think South Carolina Clemson will be a fun one to watch for sure. Really, really, really going for Gamecocks this week.
that's true. And then, hey, maybe they're on the outside picture if some stuff happens. Yeah. I mean, right now, I think. I mean, I guess Ole Miss has the head-to-head, but like, if we're just talking about who's playing the best ball right now, I think I say South Carolina's got better. I mean, playing better ball than Ole Miss is.
I think they're playing better ball than Alabama too. I don't disagree with that. I think by how the committee ranked Tuesday night or last night kind of showed you how they kind of are looking at it right now.
All right. Well, let's see here. I guess we can go ahead and give you your props, Jacob, because you got the two outright. So we went against last year. One of them, and I'm glad you got one of them, man. I'm glad for the Auburn Tigers winning.
You know, you peer pressure me into having two instead of three.
Yeah, I mean, we support the troops on this podcast no matter what.
I should have done like McAfee and said, I love America, but I think Notre Dame's going to win.
I mean, that's – and, you know, it was close. It was a little close earlier, and then that second half was ugly. I mean, it was ugly. We had the Auburn game on the lower TV, and then we had the quads on the top, and we had LSU up there. We had Army Notre Dame. We had Bama up there. So, I mean, it was just warmed down. I mean, outside of like Notre Dame's playing good football right now. They weren't. I mean, they're playing a lot better than they did the first 2 weeks.
Right.
So that brings the season total on the year to Jacob is now at 114-34 outright, versus my 109-39 spread. So he's got five games right there versus outright. And then in the spread, he's up 75-60 to 71-64. So that brings Jacob 4-point lead right there. And I think that's about enough to call it. You know, I'm not conceding yet, but I'm not going to go, you know, haywire this week unless you decide to go haywire. And I might just be trying it one or two and keep it close kind of thing.
I might do it just for the heck of it. You never know.
You never know. Let's see. You're going to take, trying to think, we're Florida State to beat Florida?
You think you're going to do that? Almost across the Southern, so who knows?
Yeah. All right. So I guess we'll go ahead and jump into mini rant right here. It's absolutely atrocious that this game is not being played on Thanksgiving.
Absolutely. I agree with you.
But we have Mississippi State 2-9, 0-7 in conference play at number 14, Ole Miss. Ole Miss is 8-3, 4-3 in conference play. Spread is Ole Miss 26. It's a 2:30 p.m. God's time on Friday, November 29th on ABC. Jacob, what you got?
I'm going to take I'm definitely going to take Ole Miss to win at home. I like that spread's big, though. Like I'm going to take State to cover on the road in big-time rivalry game. You know, did they cover last week against?
They did not, but it was closer. I think they ended up losing by like 16 or 17 or something like that. And the spread was 10.
I think with it being rivalry week, I think you're going to see some covers. Cause I think these teams are going to want to keep them close. So,
I mean, yeah, I think I'm going to go right there with you. I'm going to say Ole Miss win, does not cover. And I was really leaning the Ole Miss cover before we recorded this, but then you mentioned it, or you said you were going to take State to cover, and I got to thinking, what does Ole Miss have to play for right now exactly? I mean, you get this rivalry right here is good old fashioned hate. I mean, like, they hate each other in this one, and then, like, you know, Iron Bowl is the best rivalry because it's of all the factors that fought. But like, as far as just hating each other, and I'm talking about from players to coaches to fans, this one's one of at least top three in the country.
Yeah, I think what's kind of different between this one and Iron Bowl is Iron Bowl, the players, I think, kind of respect each other because they know that they're good enough to be at two places that they're at. Now, I'm not saying that they really like them, but I think at Ole Miss and then they just hate each other. They don't think there's any respect. I think they just, like, hate. But what do you expect from the state of Mississippi?
Hey, I like it. I love it. I love the watching the hate and watching all the – I mean, we've had some classics the past year of the Egg Bowl. And like I said, I can't stress this enough. I hate that the game is not being played on Thanksgiving. But – it is what it is. ABC, Disney, all this, ESPN, they just taken a country that we love. Yeah. So, all right. Before me and Jacob say too much, let's go ahead on to the next one. And we got Georgia Tech 7-4 at number 7, Georgia. Georgia's 9-2, 6-2 in SEC play. It's another big spread, Jacob. Georgia minus 19, 6:30 p.m. between the hedges, ABC. I think I'm going to take Georgia win, Tech cover. Tech's played some decent ball last week, past few weeks. Tough wins versus Miami. And then I believe it was NC State on Thursday Night Football. They won towards the end of the game. So they've won two games, a little momentum right here. I like Brent Key as the coach, so I'm going to take the Yellow Jackets to cover.
Yeah, I'm same. Georgia wins, but I think Tech covers. I think they keep it close. Like 19, man, I just feel like that's big for rivalry game. So, but who knows? It could be one of those that, you know, they could blow them out of the water, but I just don't know if that happens. Not with this Georgia Tech team. Yeah. So, all right. Well, that wraps up Friday. Let's go to Saturday. First game of Saturday is kind of, I think, you know, going to the beginning of the year, you know, they set this one at 11 a.m. because they thought Vandy was probably going to suck. So I feel like this game could have been better at like 3:15 or something, but who knows? Number 8, Tennessee, who's 9-2, 5-2 in conference play, going to Nashville to play Vanderbilt, who is 6-5, 3-4 in conference play. Tennessee's a 10.5-point favorite. It's 11 a.m. kick on ABC. What you got?
I'm going to take Tennessee to win. I'm going to take Tennessee to cover. Maybe before last weekend, I was probably maybe leaning a Vanderbilt upset kind of thing. But I think Tennessee, if they don't, they're stupid. Like, win this week, and I think you're in. Like, I don't think there's no debate. You're in. So you got to have this motivation. Like, you cannot slip up this weekend. So I'm going to respect the coaches up there, Josh Heupel up there in Tennessee, that they're going to make their guys understand that. And I'm going to take them to get the job done in Nashville.
Yeah,
I'm gonna take them to cover. I didn't say that. I'm gonna take them to cover.
Yeah, I'm going to Vandy upset. I think that Vandy, you know, the thing is, you know, with them being rivals, I think just it's a fun week, and I think Tennessee knows that they have something that they need to play for. So I think they'll be a little bit more motivated, but I see Vandy kind of doing maybe something like they did against Alabama and, you know, keeping the ball as much as they can, try to limit those plays that Tennessee can have. Cause like we've said after the Tennessee Bama game, if Nico can make some of those deep throws, the game's probably a lot more than one touchdown. So Tennessee's electric. I think they know they need to win, but I think Vandy plays spoiler this week. All right. Next game is number 15, South Carolina, who's 8-3, 5-3 in conference play. At number 12, Clemson, who's 9-2. Clemson's a 3-point favorite. It's 11 a.m. kick on ESPN. I'm going to give South Carolina an upset. I think that they have something that, you know, they're thinking that, you know, if they have to win to even have a shot. And so I think they know that they're right there and they can just see it. And I think South Carolina gets it done on the road. I think Clemson, you know, Clemson right now is the first team out. So, you know, they're going to try and play their way in. I think do they have to win and Miami lose to make the ACC championship game?
I think that's right. Because SMU's locked.
Yeah.
And I know they still have a shot to get in. So it's got to be like that.
Yeah. So, you know, they need to win to even make it to the championship game to have a chance to play for the conference championship and make the playoffs. So, I think South Carolina tries to go on the road and upset.
Yeah, I'm going to take South Carolina upset too. I was looking at Clemson's schedule. In the month of November, they really have not played that well. They lost to Louisville in the first November 2nd. They lost by 12. And then since then, they've played two conference games and FBS game. They beat the Citadel by a lot, so we're going to throw that out. And then they've played on the road, so we'll give them a little grace, but they played at Pittsburgh, only won by 4. They played at Virginia Tech, only won by 10. So they haven't exactly been playing their best ball of late. I think South Carolina's a really good football team, and I know I disrespected them to start the year kind of thing, so I'm not going to disrespect them right here, and I'm going to with you. I'm going to take the South Carolina upset. All right, next we got another SEC-ACC matchup. We got Louisville, 7-4, at Kentucky. Kentucky is 4-7, 1-7 in conference play. Louisville is a 4-point favor. It's 11 a.m. SEC Network. I think I'm going to take Louisville right here, Jacob. Like I said, they beat Clemson a few weeks ago. They gave Miami a run for their money a few weeks ago kind of thing. And Kentucky has just not played good ball of late. I think they've played maybe four quarterbacks this year. Mark Stoops, just down year kind of man. So I'm going to take Louisville to upset or win and cover. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm going to go Louisville to win and cover on the road. I think, you know, you're talking about they go on the road and beat Clemson. Think, you know, they can go on the road and win games. And Kentucky, Kroger Field is no Death Valley. So I think Louisville goes and wins on the road and cover.
All right. And then next we have Arkansas, 6-5, 3-4 in conference play, at number 21, Missouri. Missouri is 8-3, 4-3 in conference play. Missouri is a 3-point favorite. It's a 2:30 p.m. SEC Network game. I don't know, Jacob. I think I'm going to take Missouri to win, but I really don't know how confident I feel in that one.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough one. You know, I don't like it. This is also one that I remember like being the 2:30 CBS game on a Friday.
It has been the past few years.
Yeah, I remember going outside and it being one of the coldest days of my life. And I see Missouri and Arkansas playing, and the score was like 7-2 or 7-3, just like terrible football. And that's what you live for, right? So
it's the American dream.
So I don't know. I think this one's going to be ugly, like in a not fun way to watch. I don't think it's going to be ugly, like as far as score goes. I think it's just going to be not fun football to watch. So I'm going to take Missouri to win and cover at home, but I don't know. I'm not very confident in it, like you said.
I mean, I guess it comes down to maybe I give the nod to Luther Burden. I mean, but even then they're like, I mean, they're not that. He's been good. He's first round draft pick, but he hasn't lived up to the hype. I feel like me and you gave him the beginning of the year kind of thing. Another thing, which is just a glad, I know it's going to be cold in Tuscaloosa Saturday, but it is the highest 39 in Como on. Well, that's not home. That's, let me make sure that's right, because that's not right. That says Maryland. So let me make sure this is right.
Probably colder in the Midwest, to be honest.
Yeah, let's see. Saturday. Oh, here we go. Como, it is a high as 33 with a 25% chance of snow on Saturday. Oh, yeah. So they high as 33, low 20 with a 25% chance of snow up in there in Como.
The Hogs love the snow. So, I mean, that might be a
sport. It favors them. It definitely favors them. I mean, with the running game that they got with Taylor Green and all that, I mean, I think they want it to be ugly.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, going to, you know, I was, when you were talking about that, I was looking at this next game, and I was looking, it made me think about records. If the season were to end today, Alabama or the SEC would have 11 out of the 14 teams bowl eligible. That's pretty good, I would say. I mean,
wait, 11 out of 16.
No, I mean, oh, more than that then. Sorry. I think it's 14 out of 16 or 13 out of 16.
I think you have Kentucky's and Mississippi State, and then Auburn's playing for it. So that would be what, 13? So if the season ends today, you'd have 13 out of 16, and there's a chance for 14.
Right. So, I mean, I feel like that's pretty, you know, pretty good. But speaking of that game, it's the Iron Bowl, the best rivalry in all of sports.
Amen. Preach it.
I think it's the best rivalry. And like, it's getting to the where it's taking over in basketball, too. With the rise of both programs, I feel like it's definitely that way in football, but I think it's going up in basketball.
I mean, when you see these posts every year, like, oh, what's the best rivalry in sports? And you say that people say the game, people say Red River. But like, I think even more Texas, oh, you have a little more hate in basketball, baseball. You don't ever hear anything about basketball or baseball from the game. You don't really ever hear about it from, like, I'm not going to say Army Navy because that's not, but you know, just it's games that they talked about, Florida, Georgia. I mean, but now, I mean, Auburn and Alabama have a rivalry in every sport, and it don't matter if it's a women's basketball or if it's tennis. Whoever wins the game, the other team is going to be like, oh, that's another one against the team down south, or that's the team against the team from the up north kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I'm with you. I think there's no doubt, that especially across all of the sports, this is Auburn and Alabama is the best.
For sure. So Auburn, who's 5-6, 2-5 in conference play at number 13, Alabama, who's 8-3, 4-3 in conference play. Bama's 11.5-point favorite, 230 ABC kick. Wells hinted at it earlier to me, but what you going to go with?
I'm going to take Bama to win. I'm going to take Bama to cover. You know, as a Auburn homer, I really want to pick Auburn upset. You see your Auburn win against a really good team, and you're like, oh, yeah, let's continue this kind of thing. And that burned me earlier the year when we beat Kentucky, and then I was like, oh, we're playing Vanderbilt. We should handle this. And not to say Kentucky's a good team, but like you went on the road, you finally finished it, and then you turn around and lay an egg the next week. So I'm a little worried. Now, let me just tell you right now, the Auburn freshmen, I wish they would kind of close their mouths a little bit because they are not worried at all. But you know what? I'm going to say Bama win, Bama cover, but I do not think it's going to be a blowout. I think Auburn, if they really want to, I think you can line Jarquez up and get 30 rushing attempts, and he'll be able to get his a little bit, especially with, you know, Bama's had some injuries in the front seven kind of thing, losing Deontay Lawson last week. And then what was the was the outside linebacker edge that was out for the year? I think he got hurt a few weeks ago.
Yeah, Q.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think Auburn can keep it close, but I mean, Auburn hasn't won in Tuscaloosa since Cam in 2010, and I don't see that changing this year.
Yeah, and those games hadn't been close since.
Well, last time it was a little close. It got a little late because, you know, Auburn
– score doesn't close.
Right. It was – and all that what happened was Alabama was up, I think, 10 or 14 last time they were in Tuscaloosa, muff punt, and Bama ended up winning by 20 kind of thing. So, like, could have – should have been closer, but it wasn't kind of thing. So, but who are you going with, Jacob?
Man, I'm going to take Bama to win at home. And I think I'm going to take them to cover. I'm going to take Bama to cover. And just because of, I think how it is tough to play in Tuscaloosa, I think it, you know, it hurts to lose your captain on defense, but you know, you've got it's senior day. So I think a lot of these teams have been showing up on senior day, like Oklahoma last week and then Auburn last week, you know, everybody's kind of showing up on senior day. So I think Alabama's got this, you know, they know that they're not that far away from being in. So they win a couple things go their way. They're probably back in maybe. So, you know, you just never know. So I think they got something to play for, and I think they win and cover. So next game is Florida, who's 6-5, 4-4 in conference play, at Florida State, who is 2-9, bad in conference play. Florida is a 16.5-point favorite, 6 p.m. kick on ESPN2. What you got?
You know, we've had a little trend the past few games with taking covers, and I'm gonna make it 4 in a row. I'm gonna take Florida win and cover. Florida State's not good. Let's see, their one win was Cal in conference play, and then they beat Charleston Southern last week. Is that right, Charleston Southern? Florida, if you'd have told me they would get 7 wins in the year, you'd have proved me wrong. I mean, we were hating on them.
Yeah, I would have giggled at you because I remember one episode we were talking about where they're going to make it to 4 wins, I think. And so, I'm with you. I'm going to take Florida to win and cover. Man, DJ Lagway looked great last weekend.
He does.
You know, especially on that rush where he throws the ball like sideways. Oh, man.
Has he done enough to say maybe he's the freshman of the year? I mean, he's missed a few games, didn't start the year, but like, man, the games that he's playing, he's transforming the game.
Right.
I mean, I guess you could say him. I mean, maybe Ryan Williams kind of right now. I feel like Ryan started really hot and he's kind of faded just a little bit. Now, the catch he made last week was crazy. Didn't count to the stat sheet and all that kind of stuff. But, like, I don't know if it's right now if I don't favor Lagway just a little bit because, I mean, the position he plays and he's gotten Florida to the bowl game.
I don't know. I think it'd be a toss up, but I'm glad we don't have to decide that. So I think Florida wins.
We'll decide that later in the year. I mean, we'll give our awards out and all that kind of thing.
That's right.
It won't mean anything, but they could put it on their LinkedIn. It just means less podcast freshman of the year or something like that.
It's almost like the awards are going to mean less.
I mean, wow. I see what you did there, Jacob.
Thank you.
All right. Next, we got Oklahoma. 6-5, 2-5 in conference play after beating Alabama last week at LSU. LSU is 7-4, 4-3 in conference play. LSU is a 6-point favorite, 6 p.m. ESPN. Before we pick them, you know, I understand Tiger Stadium is legit at night. LSU has had like 4 or 5 night games when, you know, and Auburn's had one kind of thing. I know Bama's had 1, 2, yeah. Georgia. Is that it?
Okay.
Yeah, like so
in South Florida, but in conference play, it's just been the one at home,
right? And then I mean, LSU's gotten Bama, Oklahoma, Vanderbilt, Ole Miss. Well, that's your four conference home games. All four of them have been at night. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's not great, especially with how they played this year.
I mean, I guess you were trying to. You know, conspiracy theory whales over here trying to make sure LSU gets in the playoff. I mean, you're trying to get more SEC teams in the playoffs, and LSU's just one of the teams that can do it, I guess. But I guess it didn't work for them. So they shouldn't get any. No, I'm not saying they should definitely not get four conference games at night next year. Yeah. But did I go through their records? I don't remember.
Go ahead again.
Yeah. Well, might as well. Just for if you weren't listening, or if you were listening, you can just skip past after this. Oklahoma 6-5, 2-5. LSU 7-4, 4-3. LSU 6-point favorite, 6 p.m. ESPN. Who you go with, Jacob?
I would take Oklahoma upset. Solely because their defense, you know, played great last week. I mean, they did what they do. If they can find a way to, you know, score some points, you know, I think the defense helped them out last week. But, you know, they can ground and pound. I think they got a chance. So I'm gonna take Oklahoma to win on the road.
I don't hate it at all. I think I'm going to go the opposite. I'm going to take LSU to win and cover. And it's not so much I have a confidence in the LSU football team. It's because, like I said at the beginning of the episode, I'm going to try and save grace and get that record back a little closer. So we're going to take LSU to win and cover right here. All right, last game of the week, by far the game of the week, number 3 Texas, 10-1, 6-1, at number 20, Texas A&M. A&M is 8-3, 5-2 in conference play. Texas, 5-point favorite, 6:30 p.m. ABC game. I think I want to take A&M. I really do. I mean, night game, Kyle Field. Ain't played this game since they joined the SEC in 2012, or was 2013. Yeah, because 2013 was their first year in the conference. They ain't played it since 2012. So, you know, a lot of built up hate right here kind of thing. But I'm going to take Texas, I think. So, I don't know, just for saving my grace on the pick-ems, I'm going to take Texas to win, A&M not to cover. So if A&M does win, at least I can get a cover right there.
Yeah, there you go. I'm going to take Texas to win on the road. I think it's going to be, man, I think it's going to be tough to do. I think it's going to be extremely tough to do. You know, A&M, winner of this one's playing Georgia. So, I'm going to go Texas to, I don't think they're going to cover though. I think you could see them making a kick to win by one, maybe two, something like that. And I think it's close. So, I think Texas wins, keeps it close.
All right. End of the Super Dogs. another 0-2 week for Jacob. Jacob is now 7-19 on the year. I went 1-1, so I'm 500 on the year. This week, I'm going to take Rutgers to upset Michigan State. Michigan State's a 1-point favorite. And on Thanksgiving Day, I'm going to take Memphis and my boy Ethan Wilder to cover versus John Summerall's Tulane team, 13.5, Tulane's favored. So hopefully I can get both at least 1-1 and finish at a 500 record. I'd love for a 2-0, though, to have a winning record.
Yeah, no, I think that Memphis pick's a great one. I'm just terrible. Started the year off 4-0, by the way. I've been getting here. So what? I'm 3 for my last 22. Is that what you know?
Is that good?
All right, let's calm down. So I mean, I just got absolutely like screwed last week. I got screwed, you know. The whole Miami thing, Wake fumbles the ball at like the 20, and they're only down by 10 with 7 minutes left, and they lose by 28. So, I mean, just sucks. And I don't even know what the other one I had was, but this week I'm going to take the Jacksonville State to win on the road at Western Kentucky. Western Kentucky's favored by 1.5. It won't happen, but I mean, who knows? And then I'm going to take Purdue to cover at Indiana, 29-point spread. So does that happen?
What happened last time you took Purdue to cover?
Okay, let's calm down on that. So that was Notre Dame. This is Indiana, in-state rivalry. You never know. Purdue kept it close last week. That's the only reason I'm taking them. They're emotional high. Indiana's on a low. Indiana wins by 30. So, but, you know, who knows? So that's what I got. So, well, I think that is going to be the end and wrap up episode 16. No, episode. Wait, is episode 16?
Let's see. It is episode.
Episode. Jeez, man.
No, that's it's right. Wait.
No.
Yeah, I think it's 16. I think it's 15. Episode 15.
No, it's been episode 14 for the past.
Okay. Yeah. Episode 16.
So that wraps up episode 16 of season 5 of It Just Means Less. We appreciate you listening. We'll see you next week.